Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and of course today we are going to be talking about Tesla's disclosure this morning that they are investing $1.5 billion in Bitcoin. We do have a couple other stories to go through as well, but that will be the primary focus. Quickly looking at the stock's reaction, Tesla today finished up 1.3% to $863.42. That compared to the Nasdaq up 1%, so if we didn't know about this news, it'd be hard to tell that anything happened, a relatively muted reaction, and on relatively low volume today as well. Just shy of 20 million shares traded hands, which is barely higher than what we saw on Friday, 18.5 million. So while I do think this is really big news, this is important news, it's not like it sent shockwaves through Tesla stock today. And it's not like we didn't have a reasonable amount of heads up here. This is a topic we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Elon's obviously been tweeting about it quite a bit, saying he's a supporter of it on his Clubhouse interview. I've mentioned a couple times now that I wouldn't be surprised if Bitcoin ends up on Tesla's balance sheet sometime in the next 12 months and, well, happened quickly, but here we are. As for Bitcoin, when this news was disclosed, it immediately jumped by about 10% to a new all-time high, currently sitting around $44,000 per Bitcoin. All right, so looking into Tesla's filing here, they basically are saying that in January, they updated their investment policy to provide themselves with more flexibility to diversify and maximize returns on the cash that they have. And as a part of that change, they may, quote, invest a portion of such cash in certain alternative reserve assets, including digital assets, gold bullion, gold exchange-traded funds, and other assets as specified in the future. Thereafter, we invested an aggregate $1.5 billion in Bitcoin under this policy and may acquire and hold digital assets from time to time or long term. Moreover, we expect to begin accepting Bitcoin as a form of payment for our products in the near future, subject to applicable laws and initially on a limited basis, which we may or may not liquidate upon receipt. End quote. Because this disclosure is in Tesla's 10K annual filing in the risks to our operations section, they do go on to detail all the risks behind Bitcoin and digital assets. So if you read those or hear those mentioned in an article or an interview and you think, wow, Tesla's talking about all of these risks, well, that's why that's literally the purpose of that section. So looking at the financial impact here, again, $1.5 billion, Tesla says in January 2021, they updated their policy. We don't know when in January they bought. Because they didn't mention it on the Q4 earnings call or in the shareholder letter, my guess, again, just a guess, is that they started buying after the earnings call, maybe January 27th to January 29th, and that would also fit with Elon Musk's tweet on the 29th, saying in retrospect it was inevitable, and changing his Twitter description to hashtag Bitcoin, which really ramped up the speculation that Elon Musk was actually becoming interested in Bitcoin, and then he later confirmed that he was a supporter of it on that Clubhouse interview. Anyway, between that period of time, Bitcoin ranged from around $30,000 to $34,000 per Bitcoin. After that, it ramped up to right around $39,000 before today's price movement. So I'd guess the cost basis for Tesla is probably somewhere right around $33,000. And even if they had bought earlier in January, it's probably somewhere around that $36,000, $37,000 level, meaning Tesla's probably got somewhere between 40,000 and 45,000 Bitcoin. I'm guessing closer to the high end there. And obviously in that range, there's a pretty meme-worthy number. I don't think Tesla ended up with that number because they did say $1.50 billion. And if they had bought 42069 Bitcoin, it'd be tough to make that work and come out exactly at 1.50 billion versus something like 1.51. Anyway, if Tesla does have around 45,000 Bitcoin and the Bitcoin price is now approaching $45,000, Tesla's position would be worth about $2 billion, meaning they'd already be up $500 million on this transaction. Now, of course, if Tesla doesn't sell, which I don't expect them to, that's an unrealized gain, but it's been a great move so far, though obviously is very early. On that note, on a quarter-to-quarter basis, Tesla here does say in the investment section of the 10K that, quote, gains, if any, will not be recorded until realized upon sale, end quote, but that if the value declines, they could recognize an impairment loss. So that's something we're going to have to remember. Obviously, that's kind of a one-sided accounting practice, potentially showing the loss but not showing the gain. Not a big deal from a what's actually happening perspective, but something we'll just have to keep in mind. All right, so that's what's happened. I want to share some of my thoughts on this. And look, we're not going to go into a deep dive here on the technical merits or demerits of Bitcoin or Bitcoin versus other cryptocurrencies. If people want, we can have those conversations. Let me know in the comments. That always drives the direction this heads. But personally, I do like this move from Tesla. I have a small amount of my portfolio in Bitcoin. I've increased that first when Square announced that they were going to be adding Bitcoin to their balance sheet. And then again, when Elon Musk on Clubhouse said that he was a supporter, because at that point, I anticipated something like this happening. And when you see these companies start to make these moves, whether it's MicroStrategy, Square, now Tesla, it does add, I don't know if credibility to Bitcoin is the right way of saying it. I think that captures a general essence, but it's a little bit more than just lending credibility. It makes companies have to sit there. Every company now, every major company is having to sit there and talk about this. When it's a company like MicroStrategy, that conversation looks something like, oh, they did that, isn't that interesting, maybe we should keep an eye on it. When Square does it, it starts to be a real conversation. When Tesla does it, that's a completely, completely different conversation. The amount of tension that Tesla is getting for this is leaps and bounds above those companies. Unfortunately here, if you're watching the video, I have shown the trends over the last 12 months. You can see just how much higher Tesla is with Bitcoin here. And that doesn't include the last couple of days. So that's just been with the speculation. If I then flip over to showing the last 7 days here, which does capture this announcement, you can see just how insane of a spike we see. So at the end of the day, you know, whether it's digital gold or whether we call it a currency, those things are worth what people are going to pay for it. They're worth what people recognize their value as. And if you have these $100 billion companies putting billions of dollars into this asset, what do you think happens to the perception of the value of that asset? It should increase. It's also a blessing of due diligence to some extent of, okay, you know, Square has vetted this, Tesla has vetted this. This isn't just some random thing that's on the internet now. Not saying that's what it has ever been, but a lot of people have that perception, and it becomes increasingly difficult to maintain that point of view when things like this are occurring. Anyway, that's why I added to my position in the wake of those pieces of news. And from Tesla's perspective, well, that works out well because they invest, then they say they invested, and then that adds that credibility, that sort of blessing, and the asset value increases because of that. And that effect is multiplied because, again, this is going to cause other companies to have to look into this more seriously. I know I'll get some questions on what I use for Bitcoin. There are tons of different options out there. Personally, I use Coinbase. It's been pretty simple. From what I've read, seems well recommended. So I do have a referral link there that'll get you 10 bucks, me 10 bucks. That's in the description if you want. Anyway, looking at the size of Tesla's investment here, I had said that if it were to happen, I'd guess somewhere around $1 billion. So seeing it come in at $1.5 billion, definitely something I'm comfortable with. That ends up being about 7-8% of Tesla's cash on hand. And that still leaves them with about $18 billion. And you also have to consider that even though Tesla said here that they'll start eventually taking payment in Bitcoin, that's going to be a really small percentage of the transactions. So with every car they sell, that's going to bring in more cash. And if Bitcoin stayed steady, it would continue to shrink as a percentage of Tesla's assets. Of course, there's nothing stopping Tesla from buying more Bitcoin if they want. For some context on how impactful this is to Tesla, I think we should consider the recent capital raises that Tesla has done. In September, they raised $5 billion. In December, they raised $5 billion. Those were at share prices of $449 and $632, respectively. And of course, now they've put $1.5 billion of that into Bitcoin. So, thought experiment here. Let's say Bitcoin goes to $0, just suddenly overnight somehow. Okay, then Tesla lost $1.5 billion. They still have $8.5 billion in cash from those capital raises. The interesting part here is that the financial impact of that for Tesla would be exactly the same as if, with that first capital raise, they had just raised $8.5 billion instead of $5 billion. The math that I'm doing there is just saying, okay, in that most recent December capital raise, instead of raising $5 billion from the 7.9 million shares that Tesla sold, in this example, they only get $3.5 billion and then they threw away the rest on the Bitcoin that, in this example, is now worth zero. So $3.5 billion divided by the 7.9 million shares they issued gives you an average share price of $442 rather than the $632 that Tesla actually raised it at, which again is right around where they raised in September. And you may remember, in September, people were arguing that Tesla should raise more. So I just use that as an example to demonstrate how, not to say it's insignificant, but to some extent insignificant this is on Tesla's balance sheet. Because even if it were to go to zero, then that decision, if we look in hindsight, would have netted Tesla out in the same place as deciding to raise $8.5 billion instead of $5 billion back in September. So the point there is that even if you're critical of this move and you don't like Bitcoin, you don't want Tesla to invest in it, even if Bitcoin were to suddenly crash and go to zero, the long-term impact from that to Tesla would be basically nothing. It effectively just means the capital raises that Tesla just did were a little bit more dilutive. And combined, those capital raises were less than 2% dilution. So if Bitcoin tanked, then okay, they end up being, you know, 2.2% dilution or 2.5% dilution. Tesla said in the filing they view this position as highly liquid, so they've got this money that's on their balance sheet that they can access, that they can use, but it's also not just sitting there in cash, likely depreciating. At least Bitcoin has a chance at increasing in value, perhaps even significantly so. So if Tesla's going to dilute the company to raise that capital and increase liquidity, I'm fine with it sitting there in Bitcoin versus in cash. So let me know what you're all thinking about this. Let me know what questions you have, what you want to know more about. Like I said before, Tesla and Bitcoin are now inextricably linked. That link has become stronger. So like it or not, to some extent, we're going to have to keep talking about it. Moving on for today, though, as I said, we do have a few other topics, the first of which is that 10K. So I mentioned that that came out today. Obviously, Bitcoin has captured the attention of it. But the 10K is always super interesting to read through. I'm not through it fully yet, but there was one thing that I noticed right away that I did want to mention today, and then we'll revisit. But after the earnings report, I mentioned that one of the areas I want more information on is the energy gross margins, which have fallen significantly this year from 12% last year to 1% this year. Tesla says in the 10K that this is, quote, primarily due to a higher proportion of solar roof in our overall energy business, which operated at lower gross margins as a result of temporary manufacturing underutilization during product ramp, end quote. They also note lower margins in the rest of the solar business from lowering their prices, but they don't mention anything here on energy storage. So kind of a good news, bad news there. It means energy storage margin is still probably pretty decent, but the solar roof margin is probably awful, terrible right now. Hopefully that improves though as production and installations ramp up, as Tesla noted there. Poor gross margins or even negative gross margins during production ramps, nothing new. It's just a matter of how quickly or even if at this point Tesla can get through to that other side, because it's not like they've just been building solar roof for only 3 months or something like that. I'm still hopeful, but it is something to keep an eye on. Next today, we've got some more rumblings on production rates in China. Of course, on Friday, we talked about the rumor of 700 Model Ys per day. I expressed my doubts that Tesla's at that level yet. Today, we've got some new rumors circulating around Twitter, I think first posted by D. Couric from a 36kr.com translated article here, which reads, quote, Future Auto Daily learned from a source at Tesla's Shanghai Lingang plant that Tesla has formulated a detailed production ramp plan internally. It is expected to produce 300 vehicles per day in March, 800 vehicles in April, and 1,000 vehicles in May. It will produce 1,600 vehicles per day after the month, end quote. So 300 per day in March would imply that at that point they're talking about Model Y. Obviously the Model 3 would be well beyond that at this point. So probably Model Y, which they then continue to say 800 vehicles in April, 1,000 vehicles in May. But then notice a pause there, new sentence, it will produce 1,600 vehicles per day after the month. There's been some interpretation of this report on Twitter that this is all just Model Y. So then if you add the, you know, 250,000 per year Model 3 run rate, then you could get to annual production of, you know, 830,000 per year from Model 3 and Model Y in Shanghai if these numbers were accurate and also about Model Y. I'm expressing my doubt on this as well, and I alluded to why there a second ago. So they say 300 per day in March, 800 in April, 1,000 vehicles in May. Next sentence, 1,600 vehicles per day after that. So I think the first three numbers there are talking Model Y, and then I think 1,600 per day after that is total production, including Model 3, 1,600 per day, full rate, that'd be 584,000 per year. Obviously they wouldn't get there, including downtime. So maybe that puts them somewhere around 550,000 per year, which is the rumored production run rate that we have been hearing up until now. So if that's the case and that's what's going on here, I think these numbers actually do fit well. Again, I expressed doubt on that 700 per day happening already. 300 per day in March seems much more reasonable to me, maybe even a little bit low, but more reasonable than 700 per day right now. Then bringing that up to 1,000 per day sometime in May, again, seems aggressively reasonable. So as we sit here and try to piece together all these different rumors, all these different reports, I think that's the best that I can do it. I don't see Gigafactory Shanghai getting to a production capacity of 830,000 this year. We just haven't had any reports like that. Everything else has been 550,000 production capacity towards the end of the year. And again, I think depending on how you interpret this, this also reinforces that sort of a rate. At a minimum, certainly not enough here to make me lift my expectations to Tesla trying to get, you know, 800,000 or something in terms of a rate this year. All right, next here is just a quick little update from the Super Bowl yesterday. If any of you watched or happened to see any of the ads, the Cybertruck kind of got featured in a Fiverr ad. They had essentially this one person mini Cybertruck driving around throughout the course of the ad. It was never referred to directly, but of course based on the Cybertruck, with the rest of the ad being kind of a parody on the infamous Four Seasons landscaping press conference. So obviously not something hugely impactful, but Cybertruck search interest did see a nice little 3x spike when that commercial was happening, so generate some conversations for sure, and a bit of free advertising for Tesla. The commercial's already got 3.5 million views on YouTube as well, some people in the comments mentioning the Cybertruck, but I did find a list of the top 10 most viewed Super Bowl commercials from this year on YouTube, and this one did not make that top 10 list. Speaking of top 10 lists, how about that transition? We've got a top 10 list here in owner satisfaction, vehicular owner satisfaction from Consumer Reports. As they have done in the past, Tesla scored incredibly well on this in the top 10 most satisfying vehicles overall. Tesla Model 3 came in at number 1, Model S number 3, Model Y number 4, and Model X number 10. So all in the top 10, and Tesla as a brand was number 1 in owner satisfaction from Consumer Reports respondents. So number 1 brand, number 1 car, all 4 cars in the top 10. This is why I say initial quality reports are overemphasized, because owners, by and large, are extremely satisfied time after time after time with these surveys. Can it be better? Absolutely. Is it the most important thing about Tesla? No. All right, lastly for today, just a couple of quick pieces of news on The Boring Company and SpaceX. First, on The Boring Company is a continuation of a story we talked about a week or two ago about The Boring Company potentially doing a tunnel in Miami. So Elon Musk and the mayor have now spoken. The mayor said they had a wonderful call and they're going to continue to move forward with evaluating the prospects of the idea of The Boring Company doing some tunneling in Miami. They're looking at a 2-mile tunnel that previously would have been around $1 billion. And Musk is saying that he thinks they could probably do that for somewhere around $30 million. So kind of exciting times here for The Boring Company. Obviously, we'll keep a close eye on that one. And then the Vegas Loop system, which is, you know, really on the cusp of getting started here. As for SpaceX, the news here is on Starlink. Of course, they've been doing their public beta for Starlink over the last few months. They disclosed in a government filing on Thursday last week that they have over 10,000 users in the US and abroad using the service today. Additionally, it looks like Starlink is moving out of the beta phase because Starlink is now available for order on starlink.com. Previously, I think it was just to sign up for the beta. So I'm not sure when that changed over. I can't get Starlink because I live in an apartment, but my dad has come to the rescue and has placed an order. The order confirmation says Starlink will begin offering service in your area beginning mid to late 2021. That area in this case will be for northern Minnesota. So we'll definitely keep people updated on that and we'll have to do some testing when that does come in. So that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, February 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.